Hello, hello, hello. It is I, your host, Erin Carrera. It is Thursday, June 6th, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and you're listening to the Erin Carrera Show. I'm actually coming at you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I'm visiting family. And so if you notice that the sound quality is a little boomy, that's because I don't have my usual studio microphone with me. I just didn't have room in the suitcase to travel with something like that so big and delicate, so please bear with me, although I think it's probably okay for you to hear just a little bit of resonance and room in my tone. So happy to be here with you today. And just a little bit of business before we get started with the show itself. First of all, this show is brought to you by me, Erin at onetolisten.com. So if you like what you're hearing and you want to work with me, come find me at onetolisten.com/Erin. That is Erin with an E. And if you are a subscriber of mine, you'll get emails periodically with super special pricing on different time-based sessions and email-based sessions that are only for subscribers. Also, if you want to book a long session with me, I still have my Easter egg up. If you go to any of my social media, Erin at the School for Heroines on Facebook, One to Listen Erin, Erin Carrera on Instagram, Want to Listen Erin on Instagram, you will see link in bio to my link tree. Scroll down to the middle and you can book a 50-minute session with me on chat or phone for only $200. That's a super deal, $4 a minute. We can do a life coaching session, a deep dive on a number of topics. We can do astrology, tarot. There's so many things we can do. We could even do writing, coaching, whatever you want. It's your time. Okay, so today I wanted to talk about something a little weird, which is kind of quite a statement from somebody who's a professional psychic and healer and energy worker on the one hand and a writer and performer on the other hand. Anyhow, so I've noticed that a lot of people don't have any tolerance for being disliked or for disagreeing with one another. And I fall into that category. I mean, I am a middle child. I'm a Midwesterner. I'm a Pisces. I was raised to be a people pleaser. You know, we did all the, we've talked about that at length. But one thing that I've started getting a little more comfortable with is being comfortable with people not liking me. Now, this actually started for me personally a long time ago. Years ago, I had videos, when I would put videos up on my YouTube channel, I would get troll comments. You know, troll comments these days are a little less terrible, if you can believe it or not. They're still troll comments, but I used to get terrible trolling comments on my YouTube videos. One of my videos, a dance video for a song that I did called Too Much 15 years ago, featured on an album called Poet's Lovely Daughter. We did a video and it featured my friend Marco, and Marco Jamar, he was a finalist on So You Think You Can Dance, and he had a lot of fans, and a lot of fans were very upset with me. They were like, why is she in this video? She shouldn't be in the video. This bitch can't sing. And I, at that time, I wrote back to anyone who wrote a comment, and I wrote, you know, you may not like my voice or the way I'm singing or the way I'm using my voice, but I am a real person over here. And you know, actually, when I wrote that comment, the person who left me the comment about this bitch can't sing erased the comment. I follow a woman on Instagram. Oh, let me say, so that when that happened to me, I learned if you're going to be having anything on social media, you're going to have to learn to not take things personally. And in fact, people still leave comments all the time on my stuff. I just look for the gold. You know, obviously if it's just somebody being a real meanie, I just ignore it. That's not my problem, it's theirs. I don't know why they want to take the time and energy to be mean. Sometimes people leave comments that aren't nice, but actually have helpful feedback. I've learned sometimes from people. I'm not saying that should justify their approach, but it's kind of like my little revenge. Like, okay, you're going to leave me some mean comment, I'm still going to get something good out of it, right? And I learned to be okay with people not liking what I did. And I've also gotten really bad and mean feedback on different, you know, all kinds of different things I've done since then. And I just, this is my policy. I read it, I tolerate it, I look for anything I can learn out of it, and then I forget about it. Sometimes with some things, I might turn off comments, right? I might disable comments. But I want to talk about something even more than just social media. I want to talk about, you know, what we do when we are feeling like somebody doesn't like us. It's very uncomfortable. And in this day and age, I feel like more and more and more of us need other people to like us. We really need them to like us and think we're doing a great job and love what we're doing. And while I understand that, it's just an impossible quest. I totally get the desire. I totally get the desire. But it is unavoidable, okay? Unavoidable. And I thought rather than us try to figure out how to make everybody like us, really, which in today's day and age is just so important. And yet it's like, what, like, do we need that they really like us? Do we need the appearance that they like us? You know, I was watching my friend Mark Malman. He's been on the show. Mark Malman, he's a musician and author. I was watching one of his TikTok videos about how these days, how in the 1940s, people thought that what would make you happy as a person is who you were as a person. Like who you were as a person, the quality of your personhood, that is what was related to your happiness. And then in the 1980s, it shifted to what you had is what would make you happy, right? Reaganomics, right? Like the most free capitalism ever. So, you know, a lot of marketers began to market to us that what we have, what we consume, what we can buy, that's what makes us happy. And these days, he was saying, it's almost as if it's not even about what you have, it's about the presentation of what you have. And then he was talking about, you know, how he said, imagine potato chips. Now, I'm just paraphrasing my friend Mark Malman, but he said, imagine potato chips. You know, every year, the package, they put fewer and fewer potato chips in the package. And this is a proven thing. It's called shrinkflation. But every year, the packaging gets prettier and prettier and prettier. And he said, imagine a world where one day, the potato chip package is so beautiful. It's like a Louis Vuitton bag, but there's no potato chips in it. But everybody's happy buying the potato chip bag because it's a symbol of happiness because it's the most expensive, most beautiful bag, even if there's nothing in it. That's the society we're kind of living in today and kind of heading towards. And I just thought, you know, I was thinking about all of these different people I've been working with recently who really need everybody in their sphere to like them. And I thought, you know, I think for most of us, rather than chase these chimeras, right, these unattainable goals, these fantasies, right, rather than say, okay, I'm going to be the most perfect, you know, I'm going to go get the Instagram facelift and I'm going to Ozempic my body to perfection and M-sculpt it to perfection. And, you know, if you want to do that, that's great. That's fine. I'm not telling you not to. But where does that end? Or rather than trying to make enough, so much money that you have more money than everybody else, which, you know, I've worked for billionaires in my life. I get that at a certain point, it's kind of a game for a lot of folks, right? Rather than validation. But for people who are trying to get there, it's like, where does it end? Rather than, and this is another aspect of what I'm talking about, needing everybody to like you. You don't need everybody to like you. You just need the people who are important to you, or a few people to like you, or enough people to like you. It doesn't even have to be a few, just enough, right? So we have, in this day and age, such a quest for social approval. And it will continue throughout life, especially if it goes unchecked. As you're looking for your friend group, right? Friends are important. Relationships are important. As you look for a partner, if you decide you want a partner. As you look to get promotions at work. Or as you, let's say you have kids and you want to, you know, do playgroups with other parents. All of these activities are definitely predicated on being accepted and liked by other people. And that's fine. But not everybody in the world is going to like you, right? Like, I remember years ago, I was teaching massage therapy at a school here in Minneapolis called Minneapolis School of Massage. And I was walking into class where I was teaching, and I overheard one of the students who was so nice to my face saying how much she disliked me, how she thought I was terrible, how much she hated me. And I was 24 years old, and I was stunned. I was stunned because I wasn't used to hearing directly, although, of course, I wasn't supposed to hear it. But maybe I was supposed to hear it because she knew class was starting and I'd be walking into class. But anyway, it's like I just couldn't believe it. And I decided I didn't care, right? That I didn't care in that moment. I was like, I'm not going to care if she likes me or not. It's not my business. I don't know how at 24 I was able to do that. Maybe because being a massage teacher wasn't my dream in life. It wasn't like the most important thing in my life to me. And so it was like, it was a job. It was a job I was very good at. I was a very good teacher, just like I was a very good massage therapist, but I just didn't care. But, you know, these days happens a lot. I meet people that don't like me or people I don't like in return. So I remember in acting class, there was a woman who I instantly did not like. And a lot of times I'm being psychic. I instantly like or do not like somebody not because of me, but because of them. This woman did not like me. And it was in a time of my life where I was trying to test myself, grow my patience, try to be a friend to all. Certainly I intend to love all, but I no longer intend to be a friend to all, let me tell you that. Well, I'll be a friend to all, but I don't expect all to be a friend back. Let's put it that way. And I'll tell you, I worked at developing a relationship with this person. And she just kept kind of stiffing me. So eventually I just let it go. And I was like, yeah. She stood me up one night and then she came up with a bogus excuse. And I just said, you know, I'm sorry that you weren't able to make it. And I probably wasn't very pleasant to her. I said, take care. And she was like, take care? Take care? That's your response? She was so mad at me. And whatever. Like, I'm sure in her mind, I was a terrible, rude person. Egregiously rude person for not buying into her story. I just didn't. And I was like, you know, I've tried to be friends with this person. Why? Why am I trying to be friends with somebody who really doesn't like me? What's up with that? Why? I was doing it to seek to grow myself, but I realized, you know, you can't grow yourself in this way. I mean, you can grow yourself, but there's a growth at where you realize, you know what? She and I are just not the same energy. We are just not the same energy. And now I'm fine. I haven't spoken with her in years, but knowing she doesn't like me, I don't like her. It's fine. Of course, I care about her well-being. I think she's incredibly talented as an artist. I wish her very well, but we're just not, you know, we're water and oil. So, and I know for a lot of people, that's not a big deal, but for a lot of people, it really is. So I thought, let's talk about what do we do when we learn or suspect, we imagine, we think, we're not sure, we've got a hunch, we intuit that somebody does not like us, right? And we see signs. They could be very overt signs, like somebody continuously standing you up. They could be subtle. You might find that you're being excluded by a group you thought you were friends with. That has happened to me, raising my hand. You might notice that one of your coworkers or acquaintances is suddenly giving you the cold shoulder. Or a friend might actually reveal to you that some of your behavior annoys them or upsets them, or they might even tell you they don't want to be friends anymore. All of these things have happened to me, certainly. Oh boy, when a friend breaks up with you, it's almost harder than if a boyfriend breaks up with you. But you know, I feel like we are in a place culturally where we are overvaluing that we need everybody to like us, right? Needing everybody to like us and coming up wanting in that area, right? Being evaluated and being found not satisfactory for someone to like us, that's a huge anxiety producer. And yet, it's gonna happen. And I think a lot of us also have some trauma or some PTSD from times in childhood or adolescence when we were bullied, raising my hand, or ostracized, picked last for group things, or, you know, left to work on a group project alone, or had friends turn against them. All of these things have happened to me. All of these kinds of experiences actually, you know, whenever we first realized in our lives that somebody might not like us or somebody's treating us cruelly, this can bleed into adulthood and it can really create fears about not being good enough, about not fitting in. And so often experiences like that are the root or the initial onset of the kind of distress that you might feel if you are someone who particularly worries about being disliked. Of course, anyone can experience a worry about being disliked, but I do find that a lot of people who have a deep worry about other people not liking them, these are often the people who have that kind of trauma, that kind of childhood trauma of not being good enough or being ostracized or being singled out or being left out, right? But honestly, in adult life and in life in general, being disliked is inevitable. We are at some time going to interact with somebody who is very different than us and holds views that diverge from us. And that may or may not mean that they dislike us. Like, I have a lot of friends, as I talk about, that I disagree with politically. And I really love and or like them. Like, that's not, for me, a deal breaker. Sometimes it can be, you know. Like, sometimes if somebody's... I do have boundaries there. For example, if somebody has an opinion on how to treat other people, or that we shouldn't protect vulnerable people, or right, then I might go, maybe this person is somebody I want to spend less time with. But in terms of politics or religion, that for me is not a deal breaker. It's more about how do we respect and treat one another, especially the most vulnerable among us. But you know, even if we have only good intentions, and even if you are walking on eggshells or very good at managing your behavior and carefully crafting your words and what you say to other people, you know, there's a lot of reasons why somebody might not like you. You might unwittingly step on somebody else's toes, right? You might cross a boundary without knowing it. People are highly sensitive. We've talked a lot about why we go into some negative reaction when somebody says something or does something we don't like, because they're suddenly not agreeing to our worldview that our ego has created for us based on our history and our belief systems without us even knowing. Well, we do that to other people too, right? So you might say, oh, your shirt is unbuttoned, and somebody might not like you after that because they think that you are judging them and thinking poorly of them for not being careful with the buttons. And you're just like saying, no, I'm just trying to let you know you've got an unbuttoned shirt there, right? Sometimes personalities just don't match. They just clash. Especially, for example, if you're like a very anxious person and you're spending time with a very direct person, that takes a little getting used to, right? Or vice versa. Some of my very direct friends don't like somebody who's very anxious. They might find that person passive aggressive. Or sometimes there's a power struggle. Sometimes there's a hidden undercurrent of jealousy or rivalry, right? And of course, worrying about other people disliking you, that makes a lot of sense evolutionarily. I mean, for goodness sake, I'm in Minneapolis right now, and while it's June and the weather is gorgeous, in the wintertime, you need a community. You know, if you lived alone in the winters in Minnesota without technology, it would be very hard to survive. So from an evolutionary perspective, right, it makes sense. For distant ancestors, being disliked and kicked out of a group, ostracized from a group that provided support and protection, that might have been a death sentence. That might have killed you. That might have been the end. So it's, of course, hard to say that we're only operating out of an evolutionary behavior, but this is an interesting place. Now, all of these potential causes that I've mentioned, these are interesting places for you to start thinking about, well, why is it? How do I feel when people dislike me? And why is that? Right? Because the world is very different than the days of our ancient ancestors, but of course our brains are not that different. Same neural pathways are going to go firing if somebody dislikes you. Of course, it doesn't mean that you're going to die, but it still can have really painful ramifications, like maybe you get excluded from that friend group you really wanted to be a part of, or you don't get a promotion, or sometimes it might highlight something about you you don't like about yourself, something that causes you pain, right? Something that you perceive as a flaw and you worked hard to try to keep it from other people, but somebody, their dislike of you exposes it, or just because it is a trigger for you makes you think of that, right? Sometimes it might be a secret doubt you've had about yourself, like, am I too loud? Am I passive aggressive? Am I too shy? Whatever. Is my body wrong? Is my face wrong for this person, right? Is it my appearance? All of this, because you've had a secret doubt, you might start to make the assumption that they don't like you because of that. And so often it is not that somebody not liking you is the real issue. In fact, always, well, not always, okay, but often, somebody not liking you isn't the real issue, but it's the meaning you make of it. It's what you think it says about you. And whatever you think it might mean for your life, right? It's what you think it says about you. Like, if we take any of my examples, right? The woman from my acting class, why she didn't like me, if I were worried about that, it would be, you know, does she not? Well, there it was a jealousy and a rivalry, to be honest with you. That's what I think. We did very similar things. And there just wasn't, I think that's what it was. It was a power struggle. Who is going to be the diva, right? But I have other friends I have one of my best friends, also an actor, singer, writer, also one of the most talented people I know. And we don't have power struggles. We just believe in each other. So, you know, But anyway, that's me. That's me being pulling my shit out of my suitcase and showing it to y'all and being like, yep, that's still shit. Still stinks. Put it away. Flush it down the toilet, Aaron. Move on with life. But seriously, right? Now, sometimes being disliked is the issue because it means you don't get the job promotion, or, you know, because people might either consciously or subconsciously not reward you in a manner that is unfair and unjust simply because they don't like you. But I think that in modern times, what I'm talking about, with so many people calling me and so many people I've been talking with in life having a hard time with other people disliking them, I really think a lot of it is because of the story we start to tell around it, the assumptions we might start to make based on our own secret pain, our own secret fears about ourselves. And of course, if you have anxiety in any way, that the anxiety part of your mind is going to perceive being disliked as far worse than it even is, which isn't helpful, but that's how that mind works. So, you know, somebody at work might not like you, and that might not actually hold you back at work, but you might make a big meal out of that and think that you're not getting ahead at work because so-and-so in the office doesn't like you, you know? Or if there's a friend or acquaintance who turns away from you and leaves you, you can find other friends. There are likely to be other friends who still stand with you, you know? Or like my example, like with social media, like you can either, if somebody's leaving you mean comments, you could either ban them or respond to them and see if there's anything to learn, or ignore them, right? You could just click away from the page. One of the people I follow on Instagram is Diane Schiffer. She's wonderful. She's called, I think it's hashtag your or at your vintage Nana. Anyway, she's this wonderful lady. She dresses in vintage outfits and has vintage hair and a lot of vintage in her house. And she's a retired social worker, and she takes care of an adult daughter with special needs. She's got another another son who's a grown man, very good looking, anyway, who comes by once in a while. But she leaves these wonderful videos on TikTok and Instagram where she often, it's just her saying, like, you'll watch her kneading bread or making cookies or, like, you know, pulling laundry from a clothesline and folding it. And then the voiceover is about, yeah, sometimes I have a hard day, but when I have a hard day, I take pleasure in the simple things in life and I allow myself to enjoy the simple things. I mean, it's wonderful. I highly recommend Diane Schiffer. She's so fabulous. But she recently put up some videos where she expressed a few political views, and she got a lot of kickback and hate for it. And she put up another video that she made where she said, you know, I don't mind if you disagree with me. I'm not going to hide my political views because I feel like all humans, I have the right to express myself fully. And that means any part of myself I wish to share on social media. And if you don't like it, you can either ignore my political views, or you can unfriend me or unfollow me, and it's okay. I won't be hurt by it, and I understand. It's okay. It was so lovely, and I just think, yeah, being disliked by other people or having other people disagree with you, it's actually okay. It's actually okay. It's actually tolerable, and in certain ways, it might actually be appropriate and healthy. Because, you know, you just cannot please everyone all of the time, right? You just cannot. There will always be some person that doesn't like the Beatles, some person that doesn't like Taylor Swift, or a lot of people for a variety of reasons. Some might be because they're jealous of her. Some might be they just don't like that kind of pop music, right? They might just be like, no, I just really like R&B and hip hop, you know? I just don't really like that kind of pop music, right? Whatever it is, right? If everyone you ever met liked you, that might indicate that maybe you don't really express your truth. Maybe you're hiding parts of who you really are, what you really think. Maybe you have a lack of boundaries. Maybe you're an uber people pleaser and you're exhausted. Maybe you never stand up for yourself, right? Look, I get it. Being disliked is very uncomfortable in a way, especially if underneath that are very difficult, traumatic childhood experiences, or if it's because of an anxiety disorder, right? But if it's because of an anxiety disorder or another personality disorder, you can get therapy, right? You can find supplements or medication to help you with that. You can. There is therapeutic assistance. But really, it actually might be, in a way, an important sign that you're a fully grown human if someone doesn't like you, or if not everyone likes you all the time. And I really think that rather than trying to get everybody to like you, it might be better for you to find a few tools to deal with accepting that someone might not like you, accepting that, you know, it's okay to be disliked by some people, and that actually will grow your resilience, and it will grow your ability to tolerate certain experiences and instances without catastrophizing on it, right? Like, oh no, so-and-so doesn't like me. It's going to be disastrous. Oh, that's not true. Or another thing people do, right, where they globalize, right? Where they, oh no, this person doesn't like me. Nobody likes me, right? Or any of the things that we do, black and white thinking, exaggeration, hyperbole, where we really exaggerate, or we think it's all or nothing thinking. Like, those are all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, globalizing, hyperbole, catastrophizing. All of that's not really empirically true. So if you can learn to accept somebody might not like you, that could help you in other areas of your life where you might suffer from black and white thinking, all or nothing thinking, etc., right? And then you will not feel so stressed out. You might realize that, like, yeah, it's not pleasant if somebody doesn't like me, but I don't have to experience this terrible level of distress. I don't have to let it ruin my day, let alone my life, right? You can really soothe yourself. And then you can understand, okay, if somebody doesn't like me, that's not my problem. If they cross a boundary, I'll assert my boundaries. I can be pleasant to somebody. I can ask the divine to bless them without liking them. As my grandmother said, you don't have to like everybody, but you do need to be kind to everybody, right? I think that's a really good rule of thumb. I once had somebody question me on the blessing, someone they didn't like. They had somebody they highly disliked, and they wanted that person to suffer. And I was like, I actually think it would be better for you to bless them. And they're like, I don't have the energy. I can't bless. I'm like, oh, no. I don't mean for you to bless them from your energy. That would be sick and twisted because you have an agenda for them, right? You're not that enlightened. I'm saying ask God to bless them and move on. And it's important to bless them because what you're doing is you're not saying, oh, God, enable their bad behavior. Oh, divine goddess, let them walk all over me and have them do it more. No, you're saying, you know what, divine? I don't like this person, but they're still a human person. And I ask you to bless them. And I ask you to bless the situation. And that is all. I'm handing the rest of it over to you. Because what that does is that liberates you to walk in grace and to simply have boundaries and do what needs to be done without internalizing the whole, pardon my language, goddamn fucked up situation, right? It liberates you. It empowers you. So if somebody doesn't like you, what can you do? What can you do? You can buy them a big bouquet of roses. No, I'm just kidding. Of course not. That won't work, right? So first of all, it's actually important for you to identify what's happening to you. It's very important. If you can write down or even with a friend or describe out loud, rather than allowing yourself to just sit with this like, oh my God, what's happening? This sense of distress, this ambiguity. Just put your hand on your heart and just ask yourself, what are you feeling and why? So like when my friend dumped me without telling me, I feel sad because my friend doesn't call me any back anymore and clearly is upset with me, right? It's 20 some years ago now, but I worry that they don't like me anymore, right? So identifying it, if it's at work and somebody's ignoring you, one of your coworkers is visibly displeased with you or ignoring you, you might actually say, oh, this reminds me of when I was in eighth grade and I was bullied in school. And it actually brings up, you could ask yourself questions like, what does this bring up for me? Is this coming from somewhere in my past? What is this connected to? It might bring up worries about whether or not you're good enough, whether or not you're going to succeed. Now, you don't have to tell, but people, even just writing this in a journal might help you understand where this is coming from. And then as you understand where it's coming from better, how your emotions are arising better, the trail of your thinking better, your beliefs better, you can actually learn to separate the past from the present. How many times have I talked to somebody over on One2Listen who's like, but every other time I date a guy, this happens. It's like, yes, but haven't you learned from that about your part in things? Do you think that the history is always repeating itself? No, it doesn't have to be that way, right? The past is not the present. The past is not the future, unless you let it be and unless you make it be, right? But you can actually learn to separate your past from your present, and then you can identify and name what you're going through and understand yourself better. And then you can say, well, is it really that bad? I mean, am I really going to die? Like, rather than go into black and white thinking or catastrophizing or globalizing, just ask yourself, like, really, how bad is it? I mean, what is, you know, you don't have to imagine the worst outcome, the worst possible outcome, right? You could actually just reframe your thoughts around it and reorient yourself towards what's realistic and let the intensity of what you're going through just kind of lighten up a little bit, right? Like, how much would so-and-so disliking me actually really impact my life? You could ask yourself questions like, am I hyper-focusing and hyper-analyzing one negative experience and ignoring positive experiences? Am I generalizing too much? Am I globalizing? Am I telling myself a story that's not really true? Like, is this true? How do I know it's true? And furthermore, who does like me? And what evidence do I have that people do like me? And do I really believe it's possible for anyone to be liked by everyone else all the time? Really? Anyone at all? And if so, you know, like, do I really think that's possible? Is it even likely? Am I taking responsibility for other people's emotions? What if it was okay for other people to just have their own feelings about things? And is it possible somebody might dislike me, not because of something I've done, but simply because of their own triggers, their own beliefs, their own psychological patterns, their own history, their own needs, their own defenses, all of their own issues, their own shit? Can I tolerate being disliked? Right? Really important to just ask yourself some of these questions. Don't assume the worst. And okay, yes, if what you're experiencing is a personal attack, that requires one approach. But is it possible that maybe it's something else? You and this other person have drifted apart. There's a lack of alignment in values or interests. You just lose the connection. Maybe it's even beneficial to let go of this particular relationship. It might free up space for somebody who is a little bit more in alignment with where you are in your life at this time, right? It might actually be helpful. Is there a way that this could be good for you? So this can not only reduce the intensity of pain and hurt feelings, but it can actually help you maybe see where you might want to move on, right? Another thing I think you can do is think about whether or not you've ever disliked someone. And the reason that's helpful is because it will probably show you a basic truth that you're going to meet a lot of people in your life and you're not going to like all of them. You're just not. Honestly, if you are honest with yourself, you can probably identify people that you don't like, and you might even have reasons that you didn't like them that were superficial, right? You may have had feelings because of somebody giving you a funny look or one little inconsiderate comment they made one time years ago, right? And you might dislike them forever for that, right? You might hold on to a grudge. You might not be perfect. You might not be Jesus, right? Just applying this learning can help you realize that, like, somebody else dislikes you, it might really be for something similarly minor, right? If somebody's going to not like you for something, like, very minor, that's their issue, not yours. Just like if you like somebody, you dislike somebody else for a very minor reason, guess whose issue that is, right? Well, another thing you can do is you can actually do some self-soothing, some self-care, right? Because if somebody doesn't like you, of course it's going to make you feel all kinds of things, sad, you know, low self-esteem, anxiety, fear. And I feel that if you can learn to soothe yourself, and that might be anything, that might be massaging. I just moved in my chair to start massaging my arm. Like, I'm just bringing my fingertips. I've got my left arm spread out on this desk, and I'm taking my right fingertips, and I'm just gently running the fingertips back and forth, up and down, very self-soothing, right? Or you might journal or meditate or do yoga, or you might do a breathing exercise, controlled breathing, right? The breathe in for four, hold for four, exhale for four, or the 4-7-8s where you breathe in for four, hold for seven, exhale for eight, which is physically, you know, proven to reduce the activation of the nervous system. You could do EFT tapping. You could say, I welcome all emotions to my dinner table, and I will ride the wave of this emotion, knowing that it will actually eventually diminish with time, as all emotions do. You could do some self-compassion, self-compassion meditation. You could call Erin at One to Listen, and she could guide you through a self-compassion meditation. You could do a compassion meditation for the other person even, if you wanted to. I know that's a little enlightened, but why not? Why not be a little enlightened about it, right? Now, okay, if somebody does not like you because you did something, like you did something wrong, then you may wish to make an amends of some kind. So for example, if you insulted somebody, if you lied, if you betrayed somebody, then you may want to take an action to actually repair the relationship, including an apology and acknowledging the impact of your actions. Now, that might not be the case of what you're going through, but it might be worth considering, wait, did I do something that deserves an apology? You know, if you really are going to do that, by the way, don't say that kind of, if you ever are trying to make a real apology, don't ever say, I'm sorry you felt that way. Nobody likes that. That's shifting blame. If you really want to apologize for something you've done in earnest, do a real apology. If you don't want to apologize, don't do that. Don't do that shifting blame thing. Just keep it to yourself and let them deal, right? So they may not like you again, or they might, but it's important for you to live the life that you think is important, that you think is full of integrity. It's important for you to live with the integrity that you want to live with. So that's just for consideration. And then I think another thing when someone dislikes you is it's actually a huge opportunity for you to learn about yourself. So maybe someone doesn't like you because you just haven't really been present to them. You haven't gone to their things. You haven't called them to ask about them. Maybe you've teased them too much. You haven't been nice to them. You gossiped about them. So if somebody dislikes you because of a behavior that was not your finest moment kind of behavior, then even if you cannot win back that person's friendship, it actually might be helpful to consider what happened and make changes to future behavior. Now, if you didn't do anything wrong, then it's still worth considering, like, okay, well, maybe, you know, why what is this dislike about? Do I have any solid, real clues other than making a story about it? And what can I learn about myself, right? Because it really might just be your personalities don't match, or somebody projected onto you, or they're jealous of you, or they feel your jealousy, whatever, right? It's just more like, it's more, you don't know, you may, if that's a reason why they don't like you, it might be harder to make some kind of pronouncement about yourself. Because one thing that a person might find annoying about you, another person might find charming about you, right? But it is helpful to just pause and think about how you think about yourself and to examine any unidentified and unstated beliefs that you might have that might be getting in the way of your actual truth in life, honoring and respecting your own humanity, right? And it's also an interesting opportunity to think about how you respond to conflict and whether you are dealing with conflict well or not, and if perhaps you might want to develop new skills in dealing with conflict, because you will deal with conflict, right? Or maybe you might seek to acknowledge if maybe you are suppressing your own feelings of anger or dislike towards other people. And while you don't have to tell other people you don't like, I don't like you, just so you know, I don't like you. You don't have to do that. But it might be helpful for you to be like, you know what, yes, I don't like this person, but I do wish them well, right? Because look, all of this is to say it's an opportunity for you to learn how to live in this world with self-acceptance and kindness for yourself and kindness for other people. And I think rather than trying to make everybody like us or make everybody love us, rather than trying to be, right, rather than trying to have the most toys, have the perfect Instagram face and the perfect M-sculpted body, and everybody on Instagram loves us, and we have nothing offensive about us to anybody ever, rather than trying to be some milquetoast nothing that's impossible to be anyway, and I'm exaggerating, we know that, but speaking of hyperbole, right? But maybe a different response could be like what Diane Schiffer offered, which is kindness and understanding. If somebody doesn't like me, that's okay. That's okay. I still bless them. I ask the divine to bless them. And I really wish well for them. You know, I'll close with a little discussion about what happened. I know nobody wants to talk about COVID and vaccines, but I had a couple of friends drop me because of my point of view on the vaccine. And to let you know, I don't have a problem with you if you got vaccinated or didn't get vaccinated. You have your reasons for doing what you wanted and needed to do. I was vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. And that's what I wanted to do for me. And I had a lot of people drop me because of that. Or not a lot, but three. And I called one of them and I was like, are you mad because I got vaccinated? And she said, yeah. Because I did all that research and it's like you didn't pay attention to any of it. And I said, yes, I did. I read everything you sent me. But I have my own life and my own needs. But I'm glad I talked with her about it. Because I really love this person. I really care about this person. But I realized that if she wasn't willing to come to the table with me and break bread with me, despite disagreeing about that, as much as I love her, maybe there was something going on here that it was time for me to let it go. And if ever she wants to come around again, we'll see what happens. But she was ghosting me. So why would I chase after somebody ghosting me? Yes, I would like for her to know, and I let her know that I totally understood, totally got it, didn't agree, that I cared about her. But that was it. And I'm okay. And she's okay. And it did hurt for a minute, but then it didn't. Now it's just like, oh yeah. Yeah, I wonder how she's doing, but, you know, ball's in her court. And I'm not really lacking for friendship. She's not my only friend. It's okay. I understand. It's okay. I understand. And I hope she's happy and healthy and well. I trust that she is. I have no idea. I haven't seen her in years. So, maybe over a year and a half now. So I just share that story because I think, you know, I didn't have to make a big meal out of it. I could have been like, oh my God. And then because of this, I could have used it to fortify my belief and what I think, or I could have used it to justify being right. But what a waste of my time and energy. No, I just let her go because I love her. And I want her, I only want her to be friends with me out of a deep desire to be friends with me and a connection that we both work to ensure and preserve. You know, if one party is not really that interested in that anymore, then that's okay. And it can move on. It's just like dating, right? When someone's like, you know, they insist somebody is the one and that person is not calling them back and has said, no, I don't want to see you anymore. You don't want that person then. Because they're not doing the emotional labor. They're not that into you. And that's okay. That's okay. It's actually good. Because it means if somebody you're dating is not that into you and they see something in you that shows them that they're not that into you and they say, you know, it's just not working for me, they're moving on. It gives you a chance to meet somebody who is into you. It's no different with people liking you or disliking you. Yes, it is a little different. I amend that statement. Because if you work with somebody who dislikes you, then you do need to learn some conflict management skills and interpersonal skills and some resilience. But aside from that, it's okay. It really is. I promise you. Okay? So listen, if you guys want to come find me on onetolisten.com/Erin, I'd love to talk with you. I'm going to be traveling in the Midwest through Tuesday, June 11th. So I am available, just kind of limited hours. If I'm not available, please make an appointment request or a callback request, and we'll find a time that works for both of us because I am working on this trip, and I love to work on One to Listen, so I would love to talk with you or chat with you or do a guided meditation and self-compassion for you or whatever you might need, okay? So come find me, onetolisten.com/Erin, and until next week, I love you. Bye.